Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. The civil war in Syria has really never stopped, but most recent events have stunned the world. What happened? Why? And what is Syria's future? And the future of other countries? Many celebrate most current developments, but their celebration might be terribly premature. I'd like to give you the news, taking out of the myriads of reports, but it's really important. Politico wrote on December 8th, "The rapid sweep by a coalition of armed opposition groups led by Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, HTS, as we will call it throughout the program, an Al-Qaeda breakaway, designated a terror group by the United States, saw rebels at first bird out of an enclave in northwest Syria on November 27. There was the capture in quick succession of Aleppo, Syria's second largest city, Hama, and then Homs. By Saturday, the rebels were in Damascus, and Bashar Assad had fled, concluding the 10 days that shook the Middle East. Now, in the meantime, Russian state media has confirmed that the dictator and his family were granted asylum in Russia for quote-unquote humanitarian reasons after their jet landed in Moscow. All the more surprising, some might argue suspicious, is the ease with which the offensive unfolded and the absence of any serious government resistance. The questions include whether there was any rebel coordination with elements inside the Assad regime. The country's prime minister said in a video message posted online that he remained at home and was prepared to cooperate with the transfer of power to any leadership chosen by the Syrian people. And this now happened. Middle East Eye wrote on December 10 that Mohammed al-Bashir has been appointed as the country's interim prime minister until supposedly March 1. Bashir has been the head of the Syrian Salvation Government, a HTS-controlled administration in the Idlib governorate since January 2024. Now, freedom of expression has been stifled by HTS during its rule over Idlib, including violence and arbitrary arrests used to crack down dissenting voices. Now, this doesn't sound too great, does it? Politico wrote on December 8 that Turkey's President Erdogan openly endorsed the rebel offensive. Few observers believe the offensive could have gone ahead without Ankara's knowledge and approval. Since 2011, he had seized a strip of land along the border and has even toyed at times with annexing part of northern Syria, tauntingly suggesting publicly that Turkey has historical rights to do so. The final nails in Assad's political coffin were hammered and not by foes but his allies, Iran and Russia. Their inaction eased the rebels' advance. U.S. officials agreed that the collapse of Assad's front lines had much to do with the absence of any serious Iranian or Russian action, whether from inability or unwillingness because of Ukraine and Lebanon remains unclear. Now, has the civil war ended now, since Damascus was taken by the rebels? Has the war involving Syria ended? The Sun wrote on December 8, Turkey-backed opposition fighters are battling U.S.-allied Kurdish forces in the north, and ISIS is still active in some remote areas. Russia has put all of its military bases on high alert, and it was also reported that the U.S. on Sunday had struck more than 75 ISIS targets in Syria as part of efforts to disrupt, degrade, and defeat the terror group. The U.S. has stationed 900 soldiers in Syria and 2,500 soldiers in Iraq. Breitbart also wrote on December 10 that Israel had carried out hundreds of attacks on Syrian military hardware in the wake of the rebel ouster of the Assad regime. Israel targeted the Syrian Air Force, as well as air defenses, missile stockpiles, chemical weapon sites, heavy weaponry, and other targets. Those attacks continued overnight into Tuesday, with Israeli airstrikes destroying the Syrian Navy in its docks on the Mediterranean Sea. Doesn't look like the war has ended. The Jerusalem Post wrote on December 8 that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu stood along the Syrian border with Israel on Sunday afternoon, hailing the end of Syria's Bashar al-Assad's 14-year rule, and claiming Israel's blows inflicted on Iran and Hezbollah had a direct impact on the Syrian revolution. He had ordered Israeli forces to seize areas in the buffer zone to ensure Israel's security and said, "We will not allow any hostile force to establish itself on our border." So they obviously are very concerned. So are all the other neighboring countries. The Telegraph wrote on December 8, HTS is now likely to play a very influential role in shaping Syria's future. It's very much an unknown quantity. It was an affiliate of Al-Qaeda until severing ties in 2017, a move that did not convince the United States to lift its terrorist designation of the group. Now, there are some discussions now to do that. It would be a foolish move, but anyhow, discussions are going on. The article goes on to say its leader, Abu Mohammed al-Julani, served 5 years in various U.S. detention facilities in Iraq, including at Abu Ghraib, and had ties to both Al-Qaeda and ISIS. The United States still has a $10 million bounty on his head. Beyond HDS, there are numerous other rebel factions, from Turkish-backed factions to Kurdish-dominated groups, not to mention ISIS, heavily weakened but still in control of a sliver of Syrian territory, and still able to launch localized attacks. It is also a reminder that the country's factions will look to secure a place in the new Syria, and that they still have their guns if they do not get their way, what they want. Given that there is unlikely to be much of a restraining hand from the incoming Trump administration, he already said, it's not our fight, don't get involved, disgruntled armed groups may be even more emboldened to act. In other words, the 13-year rebellion against Assad may be over, Syria's civil war may not be. And Bloomberg added on December 8, the implications are also quickly sinking in, and not least the prospect of more upheaval and violence as groups tussle for control. Multiple Arab and U.S. officials told Bloomberg that a power vacuum could now be dangerous. Memories of Gaddafi's Libya and Saddam Hussein in Iraq loom large in the region. In both countries, those entrenched rulers were swept aside in brief moments of euphoria, only for the countries to descend into deeper turmoil. And look at those countries now, in what a terrible state they are existing. Now, how may the future of Syria look like? The New York Post wrote on December 7, while few will mourn Assad himself, many in the world community, perhaps even among his regional adversaries, may not be so enthused about seeing him toppled. Butcher though he may be, and he most certainly was, he was a terrible mass murderer, using even chemical weapons against his own people. But the article says, butcher though he may be, the Syrian dictator has maintained some support, both in the region and in his country, especially among Syrian Christians and Druze, who fear persecution under Islamist rule. Assad's secular regime had refrained from direct provocations against Israel. If Assad is now replaced by Islamists sympathetic of Al-Qaeda, neighboring countries like Lebanon, Jordan, and Israel would be directly threatened. Extremists could gain access to Syria's chemical weapons and potentially use a country as a launch pad for jihadist recruitment and terrorism. Such a regime would suppress minorities like Christians and others, while women's rights would suffer. The rebels with the most momentum right now appear to be Islamists, especially HTS. This is a Sunni group that once pledged allegiance to Al-Qaeda's central leadership. HTS imposed Islamic law on areas it had controlled in northwest Syria since 2015. Fox News added on December 8, a coalition of largely radical Islamist groups dislodged Assad's Iran-backed regime. Abu Muhammad al-Rulani, the Islamist leader of HTS, who has a $10 million bounty on his head from the US, seeks to present a toned-down version of the radical Islamism that has defined his years of fighting in Syria and in Iraq against American troops. Syrian experts have told Fox News that HTS seeks to impose a totalitarian Islamist regime on the population. Let us not forget, Golani also celebrated the Hamas attack on October 7. And so The Economist wrote on December 8, Syrians are hoping for a peaceful transition of power. They may not get it. Rebels from the north, east, and south of the country coordinated their takeover with remarkable discipline in recent days. Yet, because Mr. Assad's regime collapsed far faster than they expected, they have not had time to plan for the day after. Each of the four main factions, Turkish-backed Sunni rebels in the northwest, Kurds in the north and east, Jordanian-backed rebels in the south, and the remaining loyalists from Mr. Assad's Alawite sect in the west, has its own army. All of them have been bolstered by the weapons, land, and economic holdings seized from the Assads in recent days. Each group will want its share of the spoils and a slice of whatever package is arranged to reconstruct the devastated country, which needs estimated to cost some $200 billion. Within hours of Assad's fall, the fragile truce, listen carefully, between the different groups had begun to break down as fighting flared at Mamye, on the line dividing Turkish-backed Arabs in the northwest from the Kurds in the northeast. Syrians have not forgotten that the toppling of Iraq's and Libya's strongmen triggered a decade of civil war between their would-be successors. Nor are they unaware how tricky it will be to manage relations with their neighbors. The strongest contender to rule Syria is Abu Muhammad al-Julani, the 42-year-old head of HTS. As Mr. Julani's past as an al-Qaeda leader in Syria and his brutal suppression of rivals makes others wary. Getting other rebels to accept his leadership will be his hardest task. For years, he fought them more than he did Assad. A few hundred former rebels in the south beat Mr. Jordani to Damascus, preventing Mr. Jordani from getting there first. His close ties with Turkey and Qatar irk Arab powers, who want to limit their zone of influence. Some opposition figures talk about how convenient the assassination of him would be. Many Syrians worry that they could end up replacing one dictator with another one, this time an Islamist one. Whoever takes charge in Damascus will have trouble controlling all of Syria. In the northeast, the Kurds will look to the few hundred American troops stationed there to thwart efforts to bring the lucrative oil fields, Syria's breadbasket, and the Arab cities they rule back under the control which they've had. They are already fighting Turkish-backed forces to preserve the autonomy they carved out under Mr. Assad. Assad's sect, the Alawites, will similarly have to decide whether to fight or accept Sunni military or mandatory rule. After 13 years of civil war, an exhausted population is praying for a peaceful handover that has proved vanishingly rare in the Arab world. With so much division inside and outside Syria, consensus will be hard to find. And then the Times of Israel wrote on December 9, footage from a mosque in Damascus showed Syrian rebels vowing to march on Jerusalem. This is the land of Islam. This is Damascus, the Muslim stronghold. From here to Jerusalem, we are coming for Jerusalem. Patience, people of Gaza, patience, wrote an Islamist rebel, surrounded by a group of gunmen who responded with cries of Allahu Akbar, God is the greatest. Now, how does Europe respond? How do Germany and Austria react? I'm not talking about their lip services. I'm talking about what's really happening. Report 24 wrote on December 8. Syrian hordes overran Vienna's city center. Police show complete powerlessness. Apparently, it was possible to mobilize 30,000 Syrians within a very short time, who marched across the ring, making a lot of noise and shooting fireworks. The police speak of a duty registered and duly registered ally, which is questionable due to the chronology. Under no circumstances could Austria have 30,000 police officers, which demonstrates the state of internal security in an impressive and tragic way. They shouted the well-known Allahu Akbar, at the same time the Muslims' creed, Allah is greater, or the greatest, and the Islamists' battle cry. Islamist butchers have taken control in Syria. It is to be feared that they will take bloody revenge on all those who have previously supported the Assad government. In addition, one can expect the mass expulsion of Shiites, Alawites, Druze, and Christians. In the worst-case scenario, millions of people will flee to the West. The takeover of state power by Islamist forces was enthusiastically celebrated by tens of thousands of Syrians in many European countries and cities. What is notable is the fact that no women can be seen in any of those videos or photos. The manpower of young Syrians fit for war in Europe is frightening. Whether this is a right or incorrect depiction of what is happening, it shows the tendencies. It shows the worries. And so it's not surprising that T Online wrote on December 8 that because of the situation in Syria, Germany's Federal Office for Migration and Refugees has issued an immediate decision stop. According to the authority, this affects 47,270 asylum applications from Syrians that have not yet been decided. Several CDU politicians, including somebody like Jens Spahn, spoke out in favor of refugee Syrians returned to their homeland. He offered them 1,000 euros if they would voluntarily depart from Germany. After the fall of Assad, Austria is also suspending all asylum procedures for Syrians. That's what we know so far. Doesn't look like that it's going to be a peaceful transition and everything is going to be in great shape over there in Syria. So the question is, what does the Bible have to say about all of this? The Bible will talk about a coming World War III. And when it does, it says that Damascus will be totally destroyed and the Syrian people will go into captivity. Let me read to you just one scripture, Isaiah 17, verses 1 to 4, according to the Living Bible. This is God's message to Damascus, capital of Syria. Look, Damascus is gone. It's no longer a city. It has become a heap of ruins. The cities of Aroer are deserted. Sheep pasture there, lying quiet and unafraid, with no one to chase them away. The strength of Israel and the power of Damascus will end, and the remnant of Syria shall be destroyed. For as Israel's glory departed, so theirs too will disappear, declares the Lord of hosts. And the Bible also indicates, that's why I mentioned Germany in particular, that this might happen through a European power bloc under German leadership. Now, we have prepared a book some time ago about Middle Eastern and African nations and biblical prophecy. And in this book, we talk about Syria at length and what is going to happen what will happen or just has happened. So please ask for a free copy of this booklet. And until next time, this is Norbert Lenk for the Standing Watch program.